sip. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
Hey, it's the Brad and Brit cast. It is our first one this week. Thank you for joining us. There are lots of things that happened in the last few days since we were last together. And for folks who are watching us live, at the bottom of the screen, I put unvaccinated Dallas Cowboys.
Right. What's that about?
And that's kind of an on-ramp to talk about vaccinations and the Delta variant and the rest and where we are, because you want to talk about the story changes more quickly than we were getting used to. We were starting to sit back and starting to relax and everything's cool. Don't worry about it, blah, blah. And no. So the Dallas Cowboys, when I first saw this, I thought, oh my God, they're in Texas. And maybe if you're a football player who played football outside of Texas, but you go to the Dallas Cowboys, next thing you know, you're acting like a fucking moronic Texan. You're acting like a dick. The Dallas Cowboys are not among the teams that have reached the 85% vaccine threshold ahead of training camp. And Michael Irvin is pissed. All right, excuse me. He's disappointed.
Of course he is.
It should upset them. Dude, you're not thinking right. You're not thinking right. Whatever you got, I don't give a damn. Nothing else can be more important. You're not going to win a Super Bowl easily. Nothing else could be more important. And the NFL has more relaxed protocols for players vaccinated, of course, and they should. Unvaccinated players have to be tested every day for the coronavirus, and will have more restrictions at team facilities. Now, you just would think, if you were an NFL player, the last thing you want is more medical intervention on a daily basis, getting tested.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
Apparently, if you go to Texas, and by the way, we're just picking on the Dallas Cowboys. Why? Because we can.
Yeah.
There are obviously a lot of other teams that are in the same situation, but that just seems to be topic A right now, at least in the world that I inhabit, as to what can we do to get people vaccinated? How do we convince them? What do we say to them? Isn't there? And you know what popped up over the week? You must have seen it. This idea, and I, at first when I heard it, I thought, this is stupid. Vaccine apathy.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
And at first I thought, it can't be. That can't possibly be a thing. But I guess it is. And it's just people who haven't been paying a lot of people. They have not been paying attention. It's not on their radar screen. They're not thinking about it. They have other priorities. It's not punching through. Nobody in their family died. So they're just sitting back. And then there was the story of Dr. Fauci. I think he said this on CNN over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That, and this is so true. I think he's only one-tenth true. If there was the kind of vaccine resistance at any level back during polio and smallpox that we have now, we would still be dealing with polio and smallpox.
Sure.
Polio from the 50s and 60s, smallpox earlier in the century, and then I can't remember what when they finally declared smallpox completely eradicated. It wasn't that long ago. It took a long time for it to happen, but it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when it did happen, it didn't happen because there were so many people over decades who were saying, I don't want no fucking smallpox vaccine. It didn't work that way.
Right.
So, you know, to get to the beginning of the week and have all these things playing out is at times enlightening, at times distressing. And it's all being expressed today, Monday, as we speak, with the financial markets having a conniption fit, a nervous breakdown, worried that whatever opening of the economy you thought was inevitable and was on track may be a lot slower than we thought. So they're selling the stocks. Everything's being taken out and shot today. No prisoners will escape. They're taking it down. And I'm just at a loss over, you know, how you would convince the people who don't want to be convinced. Oh, and by the way, can I throw in one more thing? I feel like Brian Williams at 11 o'clock.
Just throwing them all in there?
Well, he hit 7 stories in about 3 minutes, and he's so good at it, and I'm just making this shit up as I go along. Sure. He's got it written down, at least. But the Joe Biden walking out on Friday and saying, and of course, you know, it's out of context, but it still counts. Facebook is killing people. Okay. Mm-hmm. And of course, that was the back and forth all week. No, we're not killing people. No, we've provided more information in a positive way than anybody else. 85% of Facebook users are vaccinated. It's not our fault. Back and forth, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that's vintage Joe Biden, where he says the most histrionic thing and gets everyone's attention. And of course, Facebook isn't actually killing people. Stupid people who believe what's on Facebook may decide not to get vaccinated, and that results in the virus being spread, and that may kill people. But whatever happened to guns don't kill people, people kill people.
Kill people.
the virus doesn't kill people. The gun, Facebook, kills people. Which is it?
I don't know.
How do I square these? What do I do?
I don't know.
These are just questions. I'm just asking the question.
And what Joe Biden can't say and what Anthony Fauci can't say is there's nothing we can do for you people who have decided you're not going to be vaccinated. There's just nothing we can do for you. They can't say that. We can say that. There's nothing we can do for you. We've cajoled, threatened, cried, pleaded, begged, bribed. We keep bribing. There's nothing we can do. The statistics keep showing that the hospitals are filling up with people who are not vaccinated. But at this point, if you haven't done it yet, I don't think you're going to do it. And that means you're probably going to get sick and you're going to die. So
if you catch it, you could end up in the hospital, and it might be more vicious than what was going on 6-8 months ago. And you could easily die. It just astounds me. So I'll see you and raise you one.
All right, I'm ready.
Because since we do have a divided America on this, and since attitudes about certain things tend to overlap, let me pull back the hands of time, turn them back, and go to what you heard your whole life, what I heard my whole life, what the prevailing conventional alleged wisdom of conservatism was, which is that you don't need no government.
You don't need
the government to tell you what to do, and you certainly don't want them intervening in your life. And, you know, 12 years ago, it was, I don't want a government takeover of healthcare. That was the false argument against Obamacare, but that's just a small part of this. But in general, it's you are responsible for yourself. You don't need anybody's help. The only people that need help are stupid people, lazy people, maybe the people who are born with some kind of disability. They might need a little help, but even they, you know, Helen Keller had, you know, she rocked, and she had a lot of disabilities. So I'm not even sure whether all the disabled people have an need help from the government. But you are responsible for your own way. And if you can't make it, it is not my responsibility as a fellow citizen or through the government, through taxes that I don't want to pay, to redistribute my money to you. You don't deserve it. You do not deserve it. Now, if that is true, and of course, it's not true. It shouldn't be that way. It isn't that way. And it really has never been that way. But that's conservatism in a really nasty little distorted nutshell. Mm-hmm. If that's true, then right now, the conservative view from the past as laid over COVID and people not getting vaccinated should be this. If you get it now, if you have decided not to get vaccinated and you catch coronavirus and you are spreading it around in the ever smaller proportion of people who are not vaccinated, you know what? You don't deserve medical care. You do not deserve medical care. You should sign. You should sign a piece of paper saying, I'm not getting the vaccination, and I'm signing off on life-saving, heroic medical care, where hundreds of thousands of workers in hospitals and clinics and doctors and nurses and people who empty bedpans are putting themselves at risk to save you. You do not deserve that. The same way that some woman who gets divorced at age 23 with four kids, all her fault, doesn't deserve any help.
It
was
like
her
it.
Fault she got pregnant four times.
I like her. It.
There it is.
Yeah, no, it sounds about right to me. I don't know. I wish there was some way to codify that. There's no way to do that, though. You can't do it.
Well, and of course, the truth is that's not the United States of America. We want to help the mother who needs the help. And we're not going to turn away people from medical care under no matter how stupid you were to put yourself in that position. We don't say to drunk drivers, if they get into an accident, well, we're not going to take you to the hospital because it's your fault you were drinking. We don't do that. But I'm just trying to make some kind of a painful reaching analogy here as to the stupidity of people who are signing off and saying no. But below the level there is apathy. Apathy was like a word you used to hear in high school all the time, right? Those were the apathetic kids. They didn't care. They didn't go to the football game. They didn't care about anything. They just sat in a corner and ate lunch by themselves, and they didn't care about you. They were
disaffected human beings, sure.
Yeah.
This seems more aggressive than apathy. I mean, this seems like way more aggressive to me. I mean, there's like a whole, you're buying into an entire thing here. Like, if you're going along with it at this point, and you've seen now they were very at CPAC last week, and they were cheering the idea of young people, especially not getting vaccinated now, especially in South Florida. It's young people that are being in the hospital for, you know, it's just insane.
Isn't Florida now the new epicenter? Isn't like 25% of all the new cases in the country are concentrated in the Sunshine State? But you know, Anita Bryant is still alive.
Oh, see, now that new podcast, which is 1 year, which it tackles 1977. They did a deep dive on Anita Bryant. Holy shit, there's stuff in there
that
you
around. She can still step up and screw up the vaccination situation in Florida too.
It's unbelievable. That entire thing was unbelievable. You need to check it out. I think it's from Slate. It's called 1 Year. Speaking of things from Florida, is it too stupid for us to talk about? Brand new interview from Carol Linick and Philip Rucker with Donald John Trump. They sat down for hours and hours and talk to former President Trump about various things, including a lot of lies that he continues to spread. Brad, he says in the first part of his presidency, the first 3 years, when he was incredibly popular, he never got above 46%. He never got above 46%. He says that he did not think that even if George Washington came back to life and had a vice president of Abraham Lincoln, that he would have beaten Donald John Trump. Brad, is that too stupid for us to talk about?
That is too stupid. There's got to be other stuff in there.
Well, he says there was a million people that he talked to on January the 6th. These are some of the things that he was talking about. A million people showed up for that rally on January the 6th.
He's still lying. He's got a new crowd size to lie about. By the way, not to his advantage to lie about the size of the crowd on that day, right?
It's true. Trump shows rare empathy toward Bill Barr. Throughout the interview, Trump expressed some frustration with his former Attorney General Bill Barr and his actions toward the end of his term. However, there was a brief moment when the president showed a rare display of empathy for Barr. He argued the media was the driving force that allowed Barr to fail Trump in regards to the 2020 election. He got more and more difficult, and I knew it. You know why? Because he's a human being, because that's the way it works. Trump acknowledged he may have been slightly.
Nothing. I know. What? He just said nothing.
That's all he ever says is nothing.
He says nothing.
Trump acknowledged he may have been slightly too hard on Barr, saying he did a good job on the Russian hoax, right? And then as time went by, what I should have done is, Bill, thank you very much. Great job. The former president did not forget what he perceived as disloyalty from Barr, but also seemed to reveal at least some level of fondness for his former attorney general. I think he started off as a great patriot, but I don't believe he finished that way. Guest appearances during this particular interview included Kimberly Guilfoyle and Laura Ingraham. For some reason, they were at Mar-a-Lago just hanging out.
You know what that reminds me of when you say that? That sounds like the Manson Ranch. What was it called? The Spahn Ranch?
Yeah.
Where the Manson family was. Where, you know, people would come in and leave. And if you showed up there at any time.
Yeah.
Once upon a time in America. If you showed up there at any time. You never know who might be hanging around. It might be a celebrity. It might be one of the Manson family worshipers of Charles Manson. So Mar-a-Lago has become this weird place where the dispossessed of the previous 4 years hang out. They jump in. They jump out. And if you show up at any time, you just never know who you're going to see it. And that's just so perfect. Who is it? Kellyanne and Kimberly Guilfoyle?
Oh, it was Laura Ingraham.
Excuse me. How could I confuse those people?
Yeah, it's unbelievable that you would do that. Shame on you. That's unfair. It's very unfair. No, yeah, it's those are the people that show up. And I guess he's fully moved up to Jersey now for the summer. I guess they're out of Mar-a-Lago now. I'm not really sure.
So now they're Jersey girls, huh?
He's not. I think he's denying the idea that he's trying not to get people vaccinated, but he seems to be cheering a lot. That was another story over the weekends. He seemed to be cheering the idea of people not getting vaccinated for some reason or other.
The damage is done. The poison is in the water. It has been circulating around for a year, more than a year now, and it's him. Remember, Facebook didn't kill people. Donald Trump killed people. And I would just say to Joe Biden, who, you know, goes off half cocked and says things like that. And you know, then we have to spend the next 3 days talking about that thing and putting Facebook in the position of being on the side of the First Amendment and things like that. That if Facebook kills people, then you need to say the words Donald Trump killed people. And he doesn't want to say Donald Trump. And by the way, also late last week, after we last spoke, I think it was Frank Luntz. Frank Luntz, the wordsmith, the man who gave us death tax instead of estate tax and all other kinds of weasel words to describe conservative hit jobs on Democrats. Now he's not that anymore. He doesn't work for just Republicans anymore. But his suggestion was, and you know, remember, this is not me speaking. This is Luntz throwing this idea out, that Joe Biden, and of course I reject the idea that this onus has to be on Biden, but because of who we're talking about, it kind of has to be, that Biden should reach out to Trump and ask him personally to come to the White House and make a two-person public service announcement along with Joe Biden in favor of people getting vaccinated. And it's like, you know, David Letterman and Jay Leno doing the Doritos commercial 20 years ago. You know, one of those moments, this impossible moments. And Joe Biden needs to give Trump, this again, not me speaking, he needs to give Trump more credit for Operation Warp Speed, butter him up, and now, you know, there's 20 things wrong with that, beginning with one, it's never going to happen because Trump doesn't want to admit that he's ever done anything wrong. You just said it. You just said it in that article that he's saying that he is Mr. Vaccination Advocacy, right? He should be, he probably wants an award for it, right?
Probably,
which, of course, is just, you know, the opposite of where he's been. But number one, it shouldn't be upon Biden to do this. Number two, even if it is, Trump would torpedo it on purpose because he hates Biden more than he loves America.
Sure.
He hates Joe Biden more than he wants people's lives to be saved with the vaccine.
Sure.
He hates Joe Biden more than he wants credit for being behind Operation Warp Speed. And we'll just pretend. We need to pretend with Donald when you're buttering him up, right? You have to pretend that if it wasn't for his courage, we'd have no vaccine. You have to lie to him and praise, right? And that's not going to happen. So, yes, it's just one of these ideas. And he just threw it out there, just yakking. It doesn't mean anything. But it was taken seriously for about 5 minutes. And then everybody figured out who we were talking about. We're talking about Trump. And he had his chance a long time ago. And we've talked about this endlessly. The dormant period, the hibernation period between the election loss early in November and the time that he incited the riot and then left office barely on January 20th. He had all sorts of opportunities to do the right thing on all those days. And he never did them. And he never did it in the previous 9 months before that. So the idea, but conceptually, forget Luntz's idea, which is not going to happen. If tomorrow, this is just hypothetical, if tomorrow Donald Trump said, I'm going to hold a rally, and he fooled everyone and said at the rally, no bullshit, he came out for just 5 minutes and spoke about how important it is to save America by getting everyone vaccinated. And if you love me, if you voted for me, if you support Donald J. Trump, you have an obligation to, you know, if he completely did this mythical right thing that he's incapable of doing. Okay.
Right.
So we know he's not going to do it, but if he did that, would that get 10 or 15% more people almost instantly converted to, I'm going to run out and get it? I think it would. It's so sick.
That sounds about right. Meanwhile,
and it's not Facebook. By the way, Facebook, there's nothing Facebook could do tomorrow to push up the numbers of vaccinated people, just as a comparison.
I would agree with that.
Facebook. So
I agree with that. Then there's this poll. Majority of unvaccinated Americans believe the government is using the vaccine to implant microchips.
Still?
A new survey indicates that a significant portion of unvaccinated Americans, the American public, believes conspiracy theories alleging the government is using coronavirus vaccines to spy on the U.S. population. This is a poll from YouGov and The Economist found that Republicans are still the political group with the greatest level of hesitancy when it comes to receiving inoculation. Yeah.
Sure.
29% of Republicans said they won't get vaccinated, outpacing the 23% of independents and 4% of Democrats who answered the same. Among those who won't get vaccinated, the survey asked respondents to explain why they are rejecting the jab. Some said they are worried about vaccine side effects. Others believe the coronavirus threat was exaggerated, and others believe the government is using COVID vaccines to plant microchips on people.
I have a question.
Yeah.
For these people, and again, we're in the realm of just lunacy beyond whatever the word means.
How do you even address this?
Well, the vaccine is a little vial of liquid. Okay. Most of us, we've all seen it.
Yeah.
We know what they do.
You know,
it's like every other injection that you've ever gotten in your life. What is the technology supposedly that a liquid is a microchip?
I don't know.
Can you explain that to me?
No, I can't. I can't.
See, because whenever I see the B-roll, the stock footage of large plants that make microchips, NVIDIA, Intel, pick your company. They look like little wafers.
Yeah.
They're being stamped out. There is a physicality.
They're tiny, but they're bigger than a drop of liquid.
Right. Yeah. Right. And in your, let's say your car is full of microchips now. That's why they can't build cars.
Certainly.
They can't make them. Is your car filled with all these little liquid what am I missing here? How could someone?
I don't know.
This is.
I don't know.
This is equivalent to believing that the reason that the moon landing was faked is because everyone knows that the moon is made out of green cheese. You just know that. Don't argue with me. That's what I've been told.
Well,
I've been told that my whole, it's a green cheese ball.
And if you laugh at, if you laugh at me about that, you're being very disrespectful toward my values, toward middle American values.
Right. I have to understand just why you believe.
You would have to, I mean, you would have to go all the way down the road to believe, like, the government had these microchips stored up for a long time and had to figure out a way to get them into people. Therefore, they conspired with China to create this virus. Therefore, they needed a vaccine for it. Therefore, that's how they got the chips in people. I mean, that's how you, that's how you would have to.
But that still doesn't explain the liquefication of.
That's tough.
Of the that's technology. A tough one.
Well, they were able to.
They were able to blender. What?
No, they were able to shrink it down into microscopic, tiny, and then they were able to put it into the. And I can't tell you which drop. Now I can't tell you which drop of the liquid actually has the microchip in it. I can't if it's the first or the last one, but it is good to the last drop. And I don't know if the microchip, if it just travels throughout your body. Or if it stays in one place in your arm. These are also things that I can't. And by the way, if you since you had two vaccinations, do you have two microchips in your body instead of just one? See, these are difficult questions.
That's true, because if you just have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Right, right. He's got one. But if you got Pfizer, if you got Moderna, you have two microchips in your body. And again, I don't know if they're in one arm or the other arm, or if they just, again, if they travel throughout your body, perhaps they meet and collide. I don't know. These are all very difficult questions to answer. And I don't know how to answer.
All right. All right. Let's go to another headline here. Here we go. 8 months in the slammer for Florida man's tourist visit decision.
Oh God. Yes.
8 months. So they've sentenced the first guy now, for being part of the attack on the government, an actual felony. This guy's name is Paul Allard Hodgkins, as in Hodgkin's disease.
Yeah.
Age 38, he pleaded guilty to one count of obstructing a joint session of Congress. And he is the guy, because, you know, you can remember a lot of these people just from the pictures. He was the guy that was carrying a red and white Trump 2020 flag into the Senate. He was right down there where they all stand, while other people were next to him where the vice president would sit. So the judge in the case, federal judge Randolph Moss, said the symbolism was unmistakable. He was staking a claim on the floor of the U.S. Senate, not with an American flag, but declaring his loyalty to a single individual over the nation. And in that act, he captured the threat to democracy that we all witnessed today. So he gets 8 months. The prosecutors wanted 18 months as a deterrent. This guy says he made a bad decision. He just said, I made a bad decision. I'm sorry that I did it. I shouldn't have done it.
Do you buy this? Because this seems like the mistake thing that you so often criticize people for.
Mistake. Come on.
Bad decision, a mistake, or, you know, there's a very thin line there, isn't there?
No, a mistake is I thought I was going to take the 3 train and I took the 5 train.
That's well. A bad decision is I should have had the chicken, but I got the steak.
I had the beef. I have an actual Brad mistake, and I was not going to admit this.
Oh God!
But I'm going to admit it now. Okay, and you were, and a lot of people are going to know as I describe this. Brad bought two days ago. Brad bought himself a brand new Weber grill because the one I had rusted out.
It
hasn't had a hole. And I'm going to leave out other actually very exciting, positive details from the transaction that I made and the deal that I got on it.
Oh, nice.
But that's not important to the story, because I want to get to the mistake part that Brad made. So Brad yesterday on Sunday, it was pouring down rain, and Brad being the rich patrician that he is has a screened in porch outside that he can be in even during the heaviest rain. So Brad decided to put together the Weber grill
sure
in the downpour. No problem. And Brad is very, very careful to follow the directions. And now, since Brad last got a Weber grill, I mean, the other one must have been, I don't know, 10 years old. You know, they last a long time.
But they do. Forever. Not forever.
Not forever. Now you can follow the directions on video in addition to the little pamphlet they give you. So now you have two ways to.
It's a great way to go.
Close attention. So Brad is very diligent. He's so careful. He reads it over and over and over again to make sure he doesn't miss. About a half hour, no, maybe 45 minutes in, Brad turns the grill over because the legs are on there, and you know you have to put the thing in.
But
the,
yeah, you do
the legs that you do all those things.
Sure.
Brad turns the grill over, and lo and behold, the handle is on the left side of the grill, not in the front.
Okay.
Brad rotated, I guess it would be 120 degrees, incompetently.
Yeah.
Put the wrong legs in the wrong order.
Yeah.
And with a Weber grill, once you put it together, there's no taking it apart.
It's tough. It's not easy.
So Brad now has a brand new, beautiful looking, but somewhat disabled Weber grill. So I'm going to have to use my hand and get dirty every time I move it, because the handle is on the, it's used, the handle's kind of useless being on the side instead.
It is.
Everybody knows what I'm, but yeah. The fact that I made the mistake, it doesn't, of course, now you ready? I sent an email to the company because
I'd
even joined WeberGrill.com before. I did everything right. I registered I did everything.
And good, good people in Palatine, Illinois.
Right. So I sent them a note, and I said, I love your grill. It's really great. But I did make a mistake, and I took a picture of it. I took a video, because they allow you to take pictures and videos and send it along.
Oh, nice.
I took a picture of it, and I did say, this is the worst assembly error that I've made since my 2005 IKEA television table debacle, right? I just made up I tried to be funny, and I just wanted, I said, I still love Weber grills, but the directions that you have, it would be nice. I'm just saying it would be nice if you said in English, in written words, that the most important thing is that, you know, you do this. And when you go back and look, you know, they've got pictures with an X through it and they've got that. But I hate the fact that, you know, the world lost the ability, I guess, years ago to have things translated into different languages. So they just put the dopey pictures up there now. There are no words, no words. But anyway, the point is, that's a mistake. Okay. That's a mistake. Going to Washington, D.C. and being part of the crowd. Remember, Mom told you not to hang out with those people. Mom was right. And ending up standing there down on the floor of the Senate where business is conducted, where the electoral votes were to be tabulated and officially registered by Mike Pence. That's not a mistake. Okay. That's a deliberate act of domestic terrorism. Now, Britt, 8 months, that sounds like a slap on the wrist to me. Because 8 months from now, holy, 8 months is nothing. 8 months. Hell, the NBA season is longer than 8 months.
It is, yeah. You know, 8 months is a sun.
It's really not very long, but... You know, this guy wasn't charged with a physical act of vandalism, I guess. Mm-hmm. He didn't break windows. He didn't directly threaten a police
officer. He also pled guilty. So you wonder if they kind of gave him a break for pleading guilty.
Right. So we need to withhold our judgment as we render judgment. Mm-hmm. That this was just a setup. This was an appetizer for what the other people will be facing. So if you're a person who has been out there screaming, not guilty, right? And a couple of them have done that, right? They
of course,
said,
absolutely. Oh, they've made every excuse in the world. I think I don't even have to invoke the Ambien yet, but they've made every excuse in the world for, you know, why they were there and they were led astray and they didn't do that. And it's just complete horseshit. So yeah, you wonder how this thing is going to go.
I hope the people who we see in all of the vicious medieval fighting scenes that were so well documented, the greatest documentation of violence maybe in human history.
Something.
I can't think of another moment that is that well documented, because just going back in time, there weren't as many cameras,
no
phones, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And during, you know, if everybody had a camera phone during World War II, yeah, we'd have a lot more video of World War II, but we don't. So now we see everything. And for these people,
like the Kennedy assassination, if everybody would have had a phone, right? There would have been nobody on, there were no grassy knoll guy. You would have seen the grassy knoll guy. You would have identified him and gone to his workplace and killed him.
And we wouldn't know who that Zapruder guy was.
Yeah, I have no idea who that guy is.
We wouldn't
Look who's doing the right thing here. Speaking of people who are, Steve Ducey imploring Fox and Friends viewers to get the COVID vaccine. Get the shot. It will save your life. I suppose he is now going to be decried as a member, as an enemy of the people as well now, Brad, by the Fox crowd.
Good for him. He should do that. They all should do that. I mean, I'm not sure what kind of credit we're supposed to give people like him who say that at this moment under duress.
Right.
And it's not really new for him, because I think all the people on that show many, many months ago said that they have been vaccinated. But that tells you the difference between, you know, a morning show that starts at 6 in the morning and prime time. Okay. The morning show on Fox doesn't drive the bus. Okay. They're a sidecar, and you know, but of course he should say that, but it's not the biggest thing in the world. And no, that's not going to change minds. If he would have leavened that with, yes, you should get the shot right now, and people like Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, they all need to stop telling you that this is a bad idea, or that you are expressing some form of independence, or you are expressing a constitutional right to not get vaccinated and infect not just your family, but the community at large when you circulate among them. If he would have said that, then you have something. But just to say, go get your shot, it's too little too late. You know what would, how about this? Why don't you resign from that company, which is just littered with hypocrites, all of whom have been vaccinated, every damn one of them, from Rupert Murdoch on down. And I can't remember which book it is of the three or four that are out. They absolutely nail down the fact that Rupert Murdoch hates Donald Trump.
Right.
He hates Donald Trump.
Right.
Yet the business model of Fox says you must love Donald Trump. And so they're caught between wanting to keep making a lot of money or doing the right thing. And in the case of Rupert Murdoch, he would rather make money than do the right thing. And you know what, Rupert? You're 90 years old. Jesus fucking Christ. Do the right thing.